Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I just want to say that we had a tremendous week this week. I tell you, we've been fighting left and right, trying to get this city back. Benton Harbor, Michigan, the very first city in the United States of America that have their very own dictator. He has absolute power over the people. He claimed to be the police chief. He claimed to be the fire chief. He claimed to be the mayor. He claimed to be 8 commissioners, just him himself. I tell you, this man got to go. I don't care what they say. The word is spreading about Occupy the PGA. It's spreading. They even sending threats through our former mayor, Wilsey Cook. Told him that they want to arrest the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I'm telling you, bring it on. Bring it on. Shoot your best shot. Whatever you got, you better bring it. I'm going to be ready for you. But we're moving forward. We're looking forward to Occupy the PGA. And we're ready to take this thing to a whole different level. I tell you, I am excited about this. People been calling all over the country, talking about Occupy the PGA. We are preparing ourselves for this event. I believe it's going to be tremendous. So spread the word. Let people know. May 23rd through the 27th. 20 to 26 is the big day. May 26th. I want people to come and see the work that we're doing here in the city of Benton Harbor as we attempt to stop the hostile takeover. I tell you, I'm excited about this. But before we get into our show today, I want to let us listen to a little Malcolm X.
One bullet. It's liberty or death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds itself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you are begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody. French Revolution was bloody. Cuban Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. But today, this country can become involved in a revolution that won't take bloodshed. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to be coming. You're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless because other countries have atomic bombs. When 2 or 3 different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to Earth. And there's more black people on Earth than there are white people. I only got a couple more minutes. The white man can never win another war on the ground. His days of war victory, his days of background victory are over. Can I prove it? Yes. take all the action that's going on this earth right now that he's involved in. Tell me where he's winning. Nowhere. Why, some race farmers, some race eaters ran him out of Korea.
Yes, they ran him out of Korea.
Race eaters with nothing but gym shoes and a rifle and a bowl of rice. Took him and his tanks and his napalm and all that other action he's supposed to have and ran him across the Yalu. Why? Because the day that he can win on the ground is past. Up in French Indochina, those little peasants, race growers, took on the might of the French army and ran all the Frenchmen. You remember Dien Bien Phu? No. The same thing happened in Algeria, in Africa. They didn't have anything but a rifle. The French had all these highly mechanized instruments of warfare, but they put some guerrilla action on them. And a white man can't fight a guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla action takes heart, takes nerve, and he doesn't have that.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to wish all the mothers out there a happy, happy Mother's Day. And I want you to know that we love you, and we are here to fight and stand up for our women and children. Black, white, pink, yellow, doesn't make a difference. We are going to stand with you and make sure that you're not disrespected. But anyway, this was a tremendous week for the Twin City branch of the NAACP. I will not be getting my $100,000, unfortunately, but the court hearing went extremely well. The judge told the state and the national office that we are going to refile our complaint back with Mr. Ben Jealous. And if Mr. Ben Jealous does not answer the complaint, we are to come back into his courtroom free of charge, and he will make them answer to the complaint and rule in our favor. This has never happened before. Matter of fact, he told them they cannot even have an election until we file our complaint with the NAACP National Headquarters. But unfortunately, we will not be getting our $100,000 unless Ben Jealous does not file a reply to our complaint. We're in the process of refiling our complaint with the National this week. So if they don't reply back within 30 days, we are to go back in the courtroom and I am to pick up my check for $100,000. You see, this is what people need to know. You can fight anybody and win if you got the heart to do it. Too many times people, why are you suing the NAACP? All they have done for black people. Well, that was 30 years ago. Today, the NAACP is just a shell, a hollow shell of what it used to be. So we have to make them do what they should do. Matter of fact, if we don't hold them accountable, then we become just as bad as they are. All these groups need to be held accountable. Operation Push, Jesse Jackson, L. Sharpton, the NAACP, every last one of those groups need to be held accountable. And they will not be held accountable unless we hold them accountable. And I tell you, this has been, you have to know that God is right in the middle of this thing, because never before in the history of mankind have someone been in so many different fights and winning. But on that note, I gotta bring on my dear friend, the man who I actually love this man, Ralph Pointer. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And I am as almost excited as you are because you are sending the message out there through more than words. You're sending the message out there that something can be done. And you're teaching through action. And what people need to do is imitate you, imitate your action in fighting anything and anyone who act in an unjust manner. And one of the things that Lynn Stewart said, to check someone's bravery is to see how they act and speak in the places that are dearest to their heart. That is, in their home, in their churches, in their organizations that they belong to. And you have done all of that just wonderfully. You've spoken truth to power, and you've spoken truth to the people around you, the people in your congregation. You've spoken about the failures and successes of your religion. You've spoken about the failures and successes of the organizations that you have belonged to. And this is the key to change. It is, as Frederick Douglass says, power sees nothing without a demand. Well, the demand begins with us.
That's
we
right.
We must see the problem and then make the demand. Then, and that you dared to sue the NAACP, that you dared call for people in unions to turn in their union card to make their union represent them, to make their organization represent them, to make their religion represent them and the truth of that religion. And I'm just so proud to be able to say Reverend Pinckney is somebody who I look up to and I'm going to work with and follow in this struggle. Because I was just speaking, visiting Lynn on Mother's Day in the prison. And one of the last things she said to me was that we can never allow the word failure to cross our lips or our minds. That the struggle continues and we will be proven just and honest with the results, because time and circumstances, as Marcus Garvey said, will educate people, but we must be in the vanguard of this education. So as I listen to your program, as I prepare, I got my ticket, by the way.
All right.
And Mr. Sundiata Siddique of the Austining NAACP presidency will be with me. We're flying out there, and we have our preparations, and we'll be working, and it is a glorious turn of events. And when we talk about forcing those who we are associated to serve us to serve as they said they would serve, we must not forget our president, Mr. Obama, who has made so many promises and then backed out on them. We must pay attention. And there is a new group starting in Europe. They are called, I believe, the Pirates. And they are political people, and they don't change their allegiance in terms of organizations. But what they say is, we elect people constantly, and they constantly disregard their electoral promises. And they're saying, whatever group you belong to, force that group to carry out their electoral promises. And just think what America would be if the groups carried out their, or if politicians were forced to carry out their electoral promises. Think of single-payer health care. 75% of Americans wanted it. No political party supported it. We had the Green Party that supported it, but the Green Party, which I am a member of, was not out in front of this action of single-payer health care. Everyone wanted it. 69 to 75% of Americans wanted single-payer health care. Obama started off with single-payer, and then when he became president, he said it's off the table.
Mm.
And we must remember these things. We must remember, you know, the stalling that went on in the Oval Office talking about gay marriage, the right to become married. After the North Carolina primary, or Biden says he thinks he supports it a little before. And then when gay marriage is defeated in North Carolina, then the president comes out and says, I support it in my heart. Why didn't he support it when it counted? Because we must look at all of the people, all of the organizations we're in, all of the people who we say represent us. We must watch their actions and insist that they do what they say. And if we go back over, you know, like dealing, you know, the health situation, dealing with the bankers, had they carried out the regulation on the banks, we never would have had this downturn. When they allowed the banks to disregard the actions that they promised in terms of regulation, then they begin gambling with, and stealing. We must never forget that. They gambled and stole investors' money. They gambled and stole all of the money of the pensions and the people in unions who had depended on this for their retirement. And we must remember that everyone wants socialism for themselves. But what happens is the corporations accept socialism gladly. And all we have to do is say names like Boeing and right down the line, McDonnell Douglas and the tobacco companies. All we have to do is look at the record of the subsidies that they accepted. And they call that good business.
Mm.
But if these same subsidies are saying, what is wrong with America? This is a corporation's argument. What is wrong with America is entitlements. Well, an entitlement is a subsidy to us. And we must remember, Social Security is something we paid for in advance. And they're very upset that Social Security is working. And if anybody tells you that Social Security is in trouble, you tell them you heard it on the Pinkney to Pinkney to show that they are a liar. Because Social Security is solvent for the next 26 years, even if nothing is done. And what must be done before the next 26 years is an increase, a slight increase in payroll tax, and it'll be solvent for the next 50 years. So this is a straw horse that they set up. And when they talk of entitlements, they say, look at Social Security. Well, I, for one, will tell you without Social Security, I would be in big trouble.
Mm.
But nobody gave that to me. I start paying into Social Security in 1950. So why? What is the problem here? You know, I paid into it for a long time, and now time is for me to get a little bit back, as they promised. They don't want to give a little bit back. But so what do? They begin lying. And I say to you, if you want to look at a company on welfare, just look at the banks.
Mm-hmm.
People on welfare, we don't think of it. When you get a $5 million bonus, we don't call it welfare. It's welfare, my friend.
Mm.
If you want to look at people on welfare, you have to look at some of the union bosses on this level. They're on welfare. And I think I've said Boeing because they're the most outrageous group because they speak. Everything has to be, you know, like American capitalism works. Work hard and you can compete. And then the first time they're in trouble, when Airbus does it cheaper and better than they are, that's a European conglomerate, they start screaming, oh, you're being un-American, going to the best price and the best product. And they scream so loud that they got another welfare check from you and I. That's okay. But we talk about Bill Clinton and his welfare reform. Yes, he reformed welfare. And you see, we have an unemployment rate today with Bush adding on, the piling on to what Clinton did in the welfare rights, the welfare reform, throwing people off of welfare. And what we have is 50% unemployment in black communities. What we're seeing is what they're doing up in Detroit. What we're seeing is what they're doing, trying to do in Benton Harbor. And this is what they intend to do, make us all destitute. Take what gains that we have made over the years and take them back. But you have the right answer, Reverend. And I'm going to be there with you in a few days, and we can sit down and discuss this, you know, quietly or vocally or out there in the street, educating people to the realities of the America they live in.
Hey,
and
that's
so,
true. And Ralph,
I'm thinking, yeah,
Ralph. Let me say this to you, Ralph. I know if you have a special kite that you might want to bring that you have to put together, bring your kite, or when you get here, buy you a kite.
I'm gonna
that
have a
is
special.
The most important thing that I can tell you.
I will
think
be
that
there.
It's going to be exciting, Ralph.
I look forward to it. I look so forward to seeing you. And
oh,
thank
I,
you
I'm,
for the opportunity to speak to the people about
absolutely.
What's
going on. Absolutely. You're gonna get time to speak to the people while they're here on Saturday, and you can say whatever your heart desires.
We're
expecting a tremendous crowd on Saturday, and we're going to see how this thing turn out because we're getting all kind of information. The police department on the other side of the river, they would like to incite something, but they're talking to the wrong man. Don't push us, you know. I'm telling them right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to send out a press release. Do not push me, you know, and I will not accept that those things that you're saying. We don't want to. It's going to be a peaceful demonstration unless you push us across that line or push us over the edge. And we're not backing down.
I hear you.
Absolutely, absolutely, and they need to know that. But listen, Ralph, you got about 5 minutes. Let's talk about Lynn a little bit.
Yes, well, the same thing with Lynn, and I can say that although I am so sad that she is in jail, I am so uplifted with this recent visit, with every visit. And one of the things I recognize is she's in prison, the federal Carswell prison, and she can still get emotional about the pain that women, especially on Mother's Day, are suffering in these cruel institutions that we call prison. Not about herself, because she sticks with her words. So many people have suffered so much to bring America to the point that it is today, although we have such a ways to go, that how can she, as a person who has enjoyed the skin privilege, the white skin privilege, all of her life, and her family has enjoyed that privilege, and her parents and her grandparents and her European, German, Swedish, English, and Irish relatives have enjoyed this skin privilege. How can she complain about what's being done to her? Well, I can complain a little bit. I can complain a lot. Because it is not only done to her, it is done to so many people who have been guilty of nothing but fighting an unjust government. And I'm talking about this government of the United States. And so we were reminiscing about all the plans we had before she was arrested. And she says, now if I get out of jail, I'm afraid to travel anyplace. She says, remember Paul Robeson. And the moment he left, they took his passport. He couldn't come back. And she says, I do not give up the field, My job is to struggle here to make America a better place. And when she expresses things like that, she's concerned of the women prisoners, and tears came to her eyes with some children were running to hug their mother, and she says, what are these women doing in this place? Violent offenses such as drugs gets them in jail, punishes their children, and she says these children one day will come back to punish us all because of the punishment that they're meeting out. And when she says, failure cannot cross our minds or our lips. And remember, she has already been, what did Fidel Castro say? History will absolve me. The history has absolved Lynn Stewart when her client, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, was fighting against the Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. And they wanted this fight to stop, so they unjustifiably jailed him, found him guilty of a bogus charge, and they're still doing these things. And one day, well, I hope to get a chance to talk about these so-called terrorist acts. The terrorist that they sent and comes back with a so-called bomb, and they say, see, we stopped the bomb threat. Well, you're the one who gave the terrorist, the so-called terrorist, your guy, send him to Yemen, let him come back with a bomb, and then you say, you see, they did it. And why are all of the threats from the people who work for the FBI? And if this keeps going, you know, I'm going to raise funds for our struggle by selling the Brooklyn Bridge. Because if they sell this terrorist act one more time, I realize I'm missing a bet. I'm here in Brooklyn. I've got to start selling that bridge.
That's right.
People are available. They believe anything. So here we are, and Lynn, her spirits are good. Her health isn't, but she struggles on. So, Reverend, thank you again. And Lynn says if she were out here, she would be in Benton Harbor to enjoy walking on the beaches of Benton Harbor and the lake that I have described to her. That Whirlpool and other corporations and the other wealthy people say that it's too good for the community that they have placed there, in the same manner that they've done to the American Indians, in the same manner they're doing to the Palestinians. So Lynn is aware, her mind is sharp, her feelings, her emotions are the same. She's just expressing them from inside the prisons. Look up LynnStewart.org. I know all of you online can get that, LynnStewart.org, and look at her May Day speech and her Women's Rights Day speech. And they're both so wonderful. They're the last two listed. Just shoot to those. And her Trayvon Martin speech. And you will see wonderful words. And then you will understand why they put this woman in prison. She is a threat to their, what can I say? What can you call this madness that is America?
Absolutely. Hey, Ralph, thank you so much. I tell you, you know, I really enjoy you being on this radio show and keep giving us updates and your wisdom, your knowledge. Yeah, I tell you, it's so tremendous. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ralph. I'll be happy to see you when you get here into beautiful Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I do call it beautiful. And, you know, so let's enjoy that. But look, Ralph, on that note, let me bring in Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. Congratulations. I want to say congratulations to you. I want to thank God for being a winner. The winner that he is, and you stay close to him, and that is why you are a winner, sir, because you care more about truth and justice than you do about people's opinions. You value your own self-esteem, your own self-worth, and you are teaching everybody to do that. And I love it when you said that you fight and you win. And the thing is that, you know, most people, a lot of people are feeling defeated in their minds, but you took on the NAACP, and not that you were trying to crush them, but you want to make them accountable to who they say they are. And, you know, that's what Martin Luther King said to America. He said, all we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. And the thing is, these people do not want to be what they said on paper. Every elected official in this country, every last one of them, put their hands on a Bible, and or at least they affirm that they would honor of the United States of America, which the Constitution is written, and it says in the writing of it that we have certain rights. And every time you look around, these same people who promised to honor the Constitution of the United States are making laws and signing off on laws that destroy the freedoms that we are guaranteed they're under. And I will not, you know, I put on my Facebook, Reverend, a picture of Zimmerman and this beautiful young lady. Her name is Marissa Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And she shot a warning shot in the ceiling because her husband, who was very brutal, and he admits he was brutal, was coming to her and had her cornered, and he planned to beat her. And he even admitted that he was brutal to her. And she fired a warning shot, Reverend, and they put that beautiful young lady in prison for 20 years. And I have on my Facebook page a picture of her and a picture of Zimmerman saying, you know, she's in jail today, and Zimmerman is not. And they may even let Zimmerman go free, and I want people to get used to that idea. Because I think the whole game is to incite riots. They
mm-hmm.
want to incite problems so that they would have an excuse for martial law, confiscate American guns, and
mm-hmm.
activate those camps that they got prepared. So
mm-hmm.
get ready for the idea that they might not jail Zimmerman. But this beautiful young lady, Marissa Alexander, in prison for 20 years for firing a warning shot. Then on the other hand, we got this man, Johannes Marsalis. I may be pronouncing his name wrong, but he's in California, the man who shot Oscar Grant. We saw him, Reverend, lay this young man out on the cold concrete on January 1st, 2009, and get his gun and shoot him in the back, and then want to say that he didn't know it was a gun, thought it was a taser. A police officer who's been handling guns on the range and been handling guns for years, he didn't know he had a gun in his hand. He shot the young man in his back. He served only 11 months in jail. They didn't even arrest him until people had almost riots and demonstrations. They arrested him, kept him 11 months. Do you know this man is back in court in California in the Court of Appeals trying to get his conviction overturned now because he wants to return to the police department?
Mm.
Now, this is
wow.
the climate that we live in, sir, and this woman wrote something on her on my picture of Zimmerman and Alexander, and she was saying something that sounded deliberate prejudice. She was saying those people. Well, let me tell you something about those people. Those people are anybody in power that steps on you and steps on your rights. Those are those people to me. I am not concerned about whether my oppressors are black or white. I'm going to speak against oppression itself, and I don't care what color are in the boots that step on me. Right now, I guarantee you those are black feet in the boots stepping on me, Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, maybe, you know, and so I'm not going to ignore the fact that there are black boots, black feet in those boots, because it's politically correct to be quiet about that, or because it's intimidating to be vocal about it. I'm sorry. You will not get me to be quiet about the fact that there are black feet in the boots that are on my neck, and there are black feet in the boots that refuse to help me also. Okay, so these organizations and these people in these political offices that we pushed up there through the Voting Rights Act, you have disappointed a whole lot of people. You have disappointed and you've hurt and you've backstabbed a whole lot of people, and you need to get it straight. It wouldn't be this climate of all these murders against black people if it wasn't for the people up at the top right now, who is a black man, Eric Holder, who has let this climate of open season on blacks go forward. So I will speak against oppression, and I don't care what color the oppressor is, just like you don't, Reverend. So
mm-hmm.
I salute you for that. And with that said, I want you to know, sir, that I am doing you a nice thread of invitation for everybody to get on up there to the PGA. wonderful opportunity to stand with people who are standing up for us, to go to Benton Harbor, Michigan, and to stand with Reverend Pinckney. And I'm doing you a nice invitation, and I hope that many people will take the invitation, Reverend. And I just thank God for you. I thank God for your boldness. I thank God for your honesty, because you are showing us that you can stand up, and when you stand up and the Lord is on your side, you will win. And I want to also say very quickly that everybody, please, plan to come. If you live in the Atlanta area, even if you don't, come next weekend to the Auburn Avenue Library. We are having a tremendous justice symposium. It's time for some justice around here. I don't care whether the people acting just are black, white, or other. The thing is, justice itself is what God loves. And my name is Mary Neal. I love justice, and I love you. I love you if you are about justice. I don't care what color you are. Now, we're going to have Esteban Garcia, who wrote the book U.S. Jailhouse Lawyer's Manual, and he has written a new one that says U.S. Jailhouse Lawyer's Manual, The Unconstitutional Plea. He's going to be on hand to sign this book and explain to you why a plea deal is not your best friend all the time. So please come and listen to him. Also, we're going to have Mr. William Windsor, who is the producer of the very biggest and most important movie that I think is going to come out in this year, if not in the last 10 years, and that is Lawless America, the movie. He is starting on next month. He's going to 50 states, and he's going to interview people who have been victimized by this corrupt justice system, whether they've been victimized by the corruption in the government or in the judiciary. So, you know, everybody you know almost has had some run-in where they feel like they've been victimized. But some people have, in fact, been victimized very badly. So he is going to interview 750 people, put them on a movie, and his name is William Windsor. Come out to Auburn Avenue Library on next Sunday at 2 o'clock, 2 to 6, and meet Mr. Windsor and tell him what you want to talk about, and listen to him tell you what about this great project. It's the biggest whistleblower project in the world. All of these people are whistleblowers, and they're going to blow the whistle on injustice. Also, it'll be Fred B. Nan, who is a Victory Over Balance host here in Atlanta, host of a television program, Victory Over Balance, and he talks about taking your bad things, where you've been victimized, where you've been treated bad, and turn it into an avenue to reach out and do good somewhere. And that is what you do, Reverend. That is what you do, Ralph. That is what Leah Stewart does, and that is what I try to do. And the thing is, everybody can do that in your own way. So Fred D. Man will be there. And also, lastly, we'll have Gilbert Young, who is an artist. And the thing is, he teaches about reaching out and about being your brother's keeper. He does that through art. So there are many. Everybody got a path. God
That's
got
right.
something
Go ahead.
For everybody to do. And he painted the great painting, He Ain't Heavy. You've seen it. One black arm reaching out to another. And it could very well be a white arm. It could very well be a yellow arm. But the thing is, reach out and help somebody. And you know what? Especially if you are getting paid to help folks. You know, you are working in these organizations like the NAACP and others, and you are paid a salary. You lucky enough to have a job where, you know, I do advocacy for free. But here you are getting a salary to do right by people and help people who are victimized and you won't do it. So, you know, that is not only evil, that is damn evil. And, you know, God will bless you for that. And so these are the things that we're going to be talking about next Sunday, and you will learn from these people. You just have a great time meeting them, and it's going to be a wonderful event. That's next Sunday at the Auburn Avenue Library, and it's on Auburn Avenue, just a few blocks from the King Center, from 2 to 6 o'clock. Afterwards, we're going to have dinner together, people who want to come to dinner at your own expense. And this is going to be great and magnificent. And I really thank God, and I thank these presenters for coming. And I want y'all to please come out and make it a success. And, Reverend, I just can't say enough to let you know how much I appreciate the fact that when other people, including black media, would not let me have a voice because I have something to tell. I'm going to tell you right now that my brother was secretly arrested and kept in jail 18 days while police in Memphis, Shelby County Jail lied and said they didn't have it. Today is Mother's Day.
Hey, and Mary, you got about 30 seconds.
Right now,
so go ahead.
She's got a murdered son. A lot of people got murdered sons. A lot of people got children in jail right now. And I want you to know that the people that you listen to on this show, Reverend Pinckney, Mr. Ralph Porter, and Rosie, and I, we are concerned about that, about mass incarceration. And a lot of the mothers who are listening, you got sons. A lot of the women got brothers, got husbands who are behind bars, and you're there for prison profits. And that is the main reason, because if it was for criminality, it would be totally different about who would be in jail, wouldn't it?
That's right.
It would be at least a lot more of them.
Absolutely.
The thing is that we know it's wrong, and we're walking against it, and you need to support the work that's going on against these things. You need to please look online at BH Banco. That's B-A-N-C-O. BH Banco. Or just put Reverend Pinckney's name in, Reverend Pinckney, and find BH Banco that way, P-I-N-K-N-E-Y. And let me tell you, this Mother's Day right here, especially if you don't have a living mother, you give your present to Reverend Pinckney because he's involved in helping a whole lot of mothers. A whole lot of mothers who got sons in jail, who got sons in trouble. He's in the courtroom every day watching the court. And don't think it doesn't make a difference. Those judges are aware of him being there.
Yeah,
and
right.
So
hey, Mary,
he has been able to overturn some convictions. Please send your donation. Send a Mother's Day donation, a generous one, to a man who's helping mothers fight for the
all
lives
right,
and
all
the
right.
welfare
Thank
of their
you.
Children.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Listen, I gotta bring on Roz. Roz, you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing, Roz? How you doing? Talk to me. Happy Mother's Day to you too.
Happy Mother's Day to you. And today's my birthday, and I'm 21 again. Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's exciting. And I just have been praying for everyone out there. A special blessing for all the mothers and the grandmothers and all the women who have taken care of children through the years and nurtured them. So we thank you. And I know that God is with you, Reverend Pinckney. I pray, I ask everybody to pray for safety, peace, that God opens doors and brings the right people, the right media exposure, the right elected officials coming for you to help you, that we all join together, all colors coming together for what is right. And you are definitely right that each of us has to stand up. I was talking to somebody last night, and they said, they're waiting on God. I said, no, God's waiting on you to stand
up.
That's right.
You said it all, Ross. You need to tell them again.
Right. I'm telling everybody out there, I want to hear that you're standing up and speaking up. If you can only email or fax, take baby steps, because we all have to stand together. Look at this week with the banks, $2 billion from Chase.
Mm.
Every elected official who voted for them in Congress should be out. This is ridiculous. When they called me to refinance my loan and they couldn't close my first. I had two open loans. This is stupidity and incompetence at these banks, and we're paying them in these stimulus programs to save them. They don't need to be saved.
That's
we
right.
need people that are competent and intelligent to run these institutions. Just like the schools, what's happening with our schools. We keep paying money to the schools so they can be stupid and incompetent and ruin the children's education.
Mm. Hey, Rob, I just heard on the news today, I think they said that California was $16 billion. Or is that $1 trillion? Which one is it? $16 billion or trillion?
And in here, it's probably trillion.
Yeah, they said that Governor Brown said that he's going to ask the people to vote on it.
Oh, all the taxes.
Yes.
As though we should vote for taxes to give them more money to waste the money. They haven't straightened up anything. They just have all these wasteful programs.
Absolutely. Keep their families working.
Right, only in government. there's all these people that need jobs that don't have money. The post office people, when they picked up the mail, they collected canned goods from everybody.
Uh-huh.
There's more people that are going to the food centers and the churches for dinners than ever before. So
wow.
In this money, what are they doing? There's no accountability.
Oh,
look
absolutely.
At LAUSD. They spent $1 million on my case. They could have paid me years ago. They could have taken care of me.
That's right. Could have gave you that money.
That's right. And they're going to have to give me a lot of money because I'm going to win. And
that's
also,
right.
I want everybody to speak it. I don't want to hear this negativity going out of the land that I'm a certain color, I'm not getting it. God made all of us.
That's
he made
right.
us beautiful. We're imperfect, but we're wonderful. And God loves us the way we are, and we all try. And I want you to say, yes, God is blessing me. I'm getting up, and I'm going to get a job or whatever I need to do to make it. I need the education. I'm going to go for it. God's with me. He's going to help me. Positive. We must speak positive to make it.
And we are. We got to be, Roz. We got to be. If we don't do nothing else, we got to think positive, and we always got to think that we're going to win, regardless what they say or how they act. We have to put in our mind, tell them that we're going to win, regardless what they say and what they do, because it's not what they do, it's what we do. That's what counts.
Right. We can't wait on them. My case is so bad, it makes it better for my win, because I can show people. Everybody across the country knows about how corrupt they are, and especially with the judge, Judge Cohn, and giving and making a psychiatric medical diagnosis. It's like a sick joke.
Mm.
But we are speaking. The victory is coming. God is with us. The truth. The facts are going to come out, and we are going on that. We're not listening to them. We're not waiting on our government to help us. We're not waiting on our schools. We are standing up, and we are speaking up with common sense to do the right thing.
And you are absolutely correct, and I'm still planning on coming out there the last week in August. Whenever they have that teacher board meeting, that's my goal, to be there for that. Also, to get a chance to talk to Warren Fletcher, the president of the union. And they're going to have other festivities surrounding that. But that's my goal. My goal is to be there for that occasion. That's what I'm looking for. That's
okay,
what I'm trying to achieve. I'm trying to make sure I'm there so we can deal with that teachers union and make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to let them know that we're serious about what we're doing. The
okay,
L.A. teachers are big enough. I mean, you're a city all by yourself, but yet y'all won't stand up and fight.
Well, I put on the sub. I emailed out, and they post my emails on the sub email, and I said about that they have all these, they get all this money in dues. So how come UTLA is not supporting the teacher? Where is the money going? I also said that UTLA is in bed with LAUSD, which is true. They are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked to David Hernandez, who's running for Congress up here in the Valley, the East Valley, and I asked him, I told him you were coming, and I said, I would love to have you come when you're here down to the meeting. So we need to get pastors and elected officials. So I'm going to start on that, and then you probably know other people to get them.
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely. I know quite a few folks who are actually putting it together, and so we can have everything in order when we get there. So that way we can have a program set up exactly what I'm going to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So it's crucial. It's crucial. But listen, you got about 30 seconds, then I got to bring Ralph back. So go ahead and say something, anything your heart desires.
Okay, well, it's a special day today, and I feel so blessed by being on this show. You have really given me, too, the courage to really speak up even more than I have been, and I just pray that all of us together, we bind the devil, all of us together, we're all God's children, and we're going to stand together, and we're going to make changes in this country. We're going to take back our country. We're going to take back our schools, because every child, no matter what color they are, they deserve to have their dreams. They deserve to have a wonderful education. and all of us. And I pray that more and more people will start standing up and be sick and tired of it, what's going on in this country. But God is the most important thing.
Yes, that's right. You said it all. And on that note, I got to bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
I'm here. I'm having a little trouble getting the... Oh, no, here we go. Okay. Okay, this is from the Herald Palladium, which comes, a newspaper that comes from St. Joseph, Michigan, which is right next to Benton Harbor. It's an article from the Herald Palladium that was published yesterday, Saturday. Signing off under pressure, ? A Benton Harbor city commissioner said this week that she's been pressured to sign a Whirlpool donation agreement, but the man she claims is trying to force her hand said that's not the case. Commissioner Sharon Henderson, as mayor pro tem, must sign an agreement along with Mayor James Hightower and emergency manager Joseph Harris so that a $2,000 donation from the appliance maker Whirlpool can go towards city programming. Henderson said she was pressured by Marcus Robinson, director of the Consortium for Community Development, that's just Whirlpool basically, to sign off on using all of the donation money to repair the Benton Harbor High School swimming pool. There have been long, sometimes heated arguments during several commission meetings about what to do with the donation. The corporation will donate $200,000 per year from 2011 through 2014, and $3,000 from 2015 through 2024. Let me add my own little aside here: that 2003, it's 200 and 300,000. Sorry about that. Let me just add that those are like a penny for Whirlpool. Okay, back to the article. People, commissioners, and citizens. And citizens alike want the donation to pay for the $197,000 in repairs needed for the swimming pool. Others say the program should go toward buying textbooks or other programs such as summer youth. At Monday's commission meeting, Henderson said she received a call pressuring her to sign the agreement soon after she was appointed mayor pro tem. She did not say who called her. I talked to this person about it. Is that why you made me mayor pro tem, so I could sign off on that document? No, I'm not going to do that, Henderson said. Then I got my arm twisted again, and she says who it is, by Mr. Marcus Robinson, Whirlpool employee, who explicitly said if I do not sign off on the $200,000 donation, then no other program in this community will be funded. He said that to me. We want to fund the pool, but we also want to fund the other programs in our community, Henderson said. Marcus Robinson, who is a supporter of repairing the pool, said on Thursday that Henderson's comments did not accurately characterize their conversation. He said that Dylan Barnes, the executive director of Jumpstart, Inc., had asked his opinion on a proposal to use $100,000 of the donation on a youth baseball program. Robinson recalled saying, "Wow, this is great." Robinson suggested the donation go to pay for the pool repairs while Barnes work with the consortium to fund the baseball program. Why not have both? If that's the issue, let's do that, Robinson said. He said he spoke with Henderson and made the suggestion. Robinson said it was a generous offer to help raise additional offers so we could have both. That's what she calls strong-arming her. I don't know, this is kind of a confusing article, but...
Well, actually, we know who Marcus Robinson is. He's the one who engineered the hostile takeover of the NAACP. He's a liar. He's everything that this Henderson girl is correct. They've been trying to bully her into doing things because some of the these programs is ran by her and her family members, so the nonprofit. And so he's saying that if you don't do what we want you to do with that $200,000, that we're going to cut them off. That's what they're saying. And I'm surprised to hear that Dylan Barnes is part of that. But then you never know in this city. I mean, you don't know who in this city. A few dollars will make them turn on their own mama. I mean, this is almost ridiculous.
And they have one opinion one day, and it can completely change the next
change
day.
Change the next day, all because of a few dollars. This is, I'd like to see somebody line up all these guys right in front of the fire squad as they change their opinion and give them what they deserve. Because I'm sick of these folks.
And then I've got a really quick one about the NAACP.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, Whirlpool Hostel Takeover fails again. On Thursday, May 10, Edward Pinckney, president of the Twin City branch of the NAACP, and attorney Elliot Hall again fought off a hostile takeover by Whirlpool's Marcus Robinson and also Nate Wells, Kevin Gavin, James Hightower, Melvin Burton, Anthony Jett, Elsie Wood, and the Whirlpool Corporation.
Seawood.
The Detroit court ruled that the Twin City branch will resubmit a formal complaint to the national NAACP if the national does not reply to communications. The Twin City branch, will be able to return to court at no cost and refile the lawsuit. Judge Sullivan wanted the issues to be resolved internally. State NAACP President Yvonne White worked with the group listed above who were offering free memberships to anyone agreeing to vote against Pinckney in a special election the state would hold in Benton Harbor. Whirlpool Corporation and Marcus Robinson circulated an email stating that NAACP, state, and national wanted to reorganize the branch with the specific intention of revitalizing the leadership, and members should contact Robinson instead of President Pinckney. Robinson, Whirlpool, and White were spearheading this unsuccessful takeover. So the judge ruled that there will be no election until this matter is resolved, and it's another major victory for the people of Benton Harbor.
Wow, that's tremendous. I tell you, I am truly, truly happy. And once again, this guy, Marcus Robinson, that Tom, that butt kisser, whatever he is, I mean, he's the one that's actually engineering all the bad things that's happened to the residents of Benton Harbor. He is behind that with all Whirlpool money. Millions of dollars they have given him. But I tell you, that has been tremendous. I tell you,
a lot of people believe in him.
Yeah, they do, because he got money. They don't really believe in him. They believe in the money that he distributed. And he's a hypnotist. He's been hypnotizing these pastors around here. Matter of fact, he made them come out and speak against me, talking about the pastors condemn Pinckney for demanding 25% of the profits from the PGA. Now, do that make any sense at all? I mean, why would you come out and say that, well, Pinckney shouldn't be demanding any money from the PGA? He should be happy that the PGA is here. Yeah, we're going to show them how happy we are when they get here. We're going to show them that. I mean, this guy is a joke, I tell you that. But on that note, I got to bring on Ralph with a couple of closing thoughts. Then I get back to Mary, and we'll go back with Roz and clear it up. Go ahead, Ralph. You're there.
Yes, I am. And one thing that I love about you, Reverend Pinckney, is you speak clearly.
Mm.
And when you speak of Marcus Robinson, there's no other way to say it. If he's a liar, he's a liar.
Yeah.
And when you say it that way, you are lying to the people.
Yeah.
And when you don't name names, you talk about what things that people are doing, but you name names to give people an opportunity to decide whether you're telling the truth or not. And you put their name out there and then say, look at them, look at what they're doing, and look at how it affects our community. And I believe to the bottom of my heart that this is where success lies. And I'm going to use another Queen Mother Moore-ism. Queen Mother Moore, the brilliant woman who went to a third grade education, who started way back with Marcus Garvey in the 30s, fighting for justice for people of color. She says, the most terrible thing you can say about an evil person is tell what they do.
Yeah.
Call them what they do. And I love the way you follow that advice. You call people what they do. If they're a liar, you say they are a liar.
Mm-hmm.
If they are a cheat, you tell them they are a cheat. Name, and places. And this is what is lacking in this society. We criticize people, but we're afraid to tell the whole truth. So tell the worst thing you can do with a corrupt person is to name what they do, and they'll associate their name with what they do. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. It's another lesson in conduct that most of us, many of us, need to learn to do.
You're absolutely right. Thank you, Ralph. But I want to say one of the things this guy, Marcus Robinson, did, one of the guys that was I felt like he was a very good friend of mine. He worked at the radio station, and what he did, he tried to set me up on the radio station with this guy, Marcus Robinson, to come in and ramrod the whole show. And I was shocked to hear, if we didn't know he was coming, he don't have to sit in on my radio show on my time. My time is valuable. You see, I don't like to, you know, if I come on your show, first of all, for you, you should be paying me. I shouldn't come on your show for free and then have to be, and I really thought this guy was my friend. And I said, wow, I really got a real slap in the face, Ralph. That guy slapped me right in the face, but it taught me a lesson, what money can do. Money, a turn, look, it'll make your mama slap you around here.
Yes. And nothing is wrong with being with it set up. The only thing wrong with it is if you don't learn something from it.
Yeah.
You learn, and you told the rest of us. We have learned something from it. You have told us a lesson that we have heard over and over again. Money corrupts.
It corrupts. And I tell you one thing, Ralph. It will never, ever happen again. I can guarantee you that. You get me once, that's on you. Because I tell you, it could have been a complete setup. You know, if I know now not to get myself in that compromising position. But listen, Ralph, I got to bring Mary on for her to say maybe. You got 30 seconds, Mary, to say whatever you want. Say it fast because that's all you got is 30 seconds.
All right, then, Reverend, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Porno, once again, for good advice. I want everybody to know that I have neighbors who have their hands on a button, and if I go to name and names, they're going to cut me off. They do it over and over. Listen to the archive tapes. Please send this tape out to all of your friends so that they can listen, they can learn, and they can share. And we want them to come to the PGA. I'm inviting everybody to the Auburn Avenue Library next Sunday, and I just want everybody to be blessed. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. If you had a wonderful mother, good for you. If you are a good mother, good for you. And I just want to say, bless the arms that rock Reverend Pinckney. Bless the arms that rock Mr. Porno. Bless the arms that rock Rosie and all revolutionaries. Bless the arms that rock you. Because that woman, whether she was your mother or your grandmother or some teacher who inspired you, I just bless her arms if you were the type of person who would stand up.
All right. Way to go, Mary. Roz, you got about 30 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires.
Okay, I want everybody to look to the Lord. Our Lord has more money than anyone. He has more benefits, more blessings than any of these companies that are waving money around. God is so good. He has a special blessing for everyone, so claim your blessing. Mary, you're an incredible lady. We all love you for everything you do. Ralph, you're so articulate. I love listening to you. And Reverend Pinckney, you are a gift from God in my life and everyone's life.
Hey, well, I want to say to each and everyone out there, and not only in radio land, but computer land, and who all listening to the show, and I want to say to my wife, happy, happy Mother's Day. And I want to say to each and every one of y'all, happy, happy, happy Mother's Day. If I didn't say it personally to you, I'm saying it now. This is happy, happy day. And I tell you this, I want you to learn from what happened to me at that radio station. Watch your back with these people. I'm telling you, the ones that you think is your friend, you know the story of Jesse James. So beware. I love you all. God bless y'all. And don't forget, May 23rd through the 27th, occupy the PGA. The 26th is the big day. And bring your kikes. It's over. Have a good time, everybody. God bless y'all, but we have ran out of time. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all next Sunday for another very, very exciting show. Thank you all. God bless y'all.
Peace.
God bless.
Happy
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.